We're privileged as we worship the Lord to read from the holy, inspired Word of God. And this afternoon, let's read from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon after the book of Ecclesiastes. And we'll read the second chapter. And as you are looking it up, in the first chapter, in the very first verse, we're told that the Song of Solomon is called the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And this book called the Song of Songs is like saying the Lord of Lords or the King of Kings or the Holy of Holies. That is, here we have the most superlative song in all the world. And not just for 1 year. It's not the top song for 1 year. It's the top song for all history. It's the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Inspired by God. And it's a song about love. The love relationship of God with His people. And His people with God. We want to think about that a little bit this evening. As we look at chapter 2. With especially verse 6 as our main text. Hear the word of the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon. And the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me or support me with flagons, or you could translate with raisin cakes. You might compare it today with chocolates. Comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a gazelle or a young hart or stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looks forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely, or ravishing. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. So far the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord bless the reading of Scriptures to us. We will now confess our faith as expressed in the Apostles' Creed, which is in honor to the triune God of salvation. And this is what the Christian Church throughout the centuries confesses about the one true God, the God also in whose name we are baptized. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing to God's praise, Psalter number 221, and all the songs this service have reference to the word love, as we think of God's love revealed in Christ. 221, all the stanzas. To call on the Lord and ask for his blessing. Before that, I have a couple of announcements again. One is a repeat from this morning that all young people and young adults 16 and up who are interested in attending the Be Ready conference in Calgary in April are asked to meet downstairs briefly after the evening service tonight. We want to remember in our prayer Karen Osunder returning from Africa from her 6-month service on Mercy Ship Ministries. We want to pray for Joshua Slimers, who is leaving for Florida with CCBR, pro-life ministry, training and outreach, and the Lord's blessing on you in that work, leaving this week sometime. We want to give thanks for those who returned safely from their Mexico trip and the ministry that they were involved in there, in word and deed. And we want to ask the Lord's help that we may understand something of the scripture passage and the text that we have before us this evening. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, how we give thanks that in a world which speaks so much of love and yet understands so little of it, in a world that has many, many love songs which are many times, if not almost all the time, cheap, superficial, and not demonstrating true love at all. That this evening we are privileged to learn about the Song of Songs. Thanks, Lord, that the top song on the top list is always from the Word itself. One that was not written by any star, music star, but written by the God who made heaven and earth. The God and Father who gave His Son to be the Savior of sinners. The Holy Spirit who is the Comforter, who draws from Christ and who's ever out to take of the things of Christ and to show them to us. And that by that Spirit there is a love song which is the Song of Songs, and we may think a little about it tonight. We pray that this Song of Songs may not be one we hardly ever refer to, because it seems so hard to understand, but help us rather to keep just reading it and praying for your blessing and understanding it and having you speak to us through it, that we may learn something of the infinite love of God as revealed to sinners like us in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Please, Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in preaching and in listening as we think this evening, especially of this one verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 6. And we pray, make this verse to be special to us, one that we never can forget. A love picture so precious, so beautiful, that you have given us to help us to understand your infinite love. Lord, we confess that by nature we aren't even interested in that love. And of ourselves, we don't understand that love. And we can't get it. But Lord, we pray that you will open our minds and hearts, that we come to understand it, that we come to see our great need of it, that we see too our sin and rebellion, that we have sinned against the God who made us, the God who has only ordained what is good for us, and we rebelled against Him in Adam and in our actual sins ever since. O Lord, help us to see our sin and to realize our sin is rebelling against the God of so much love, and that that may convict us by itself how terrible sin is, how ungrateful, how thankless before the God who made us and the God who cares for us and the God who has sent His own Son to be Savior for sinners like us. Lord, please bless us under the ministry of the Word and draw us with cords of love to Thyself, maybe for a first time or else for the thousandth time. Lord, when we are Your people, we know that our greatest joy is to know we are in the bosom of Your love and to be embraced by Your love. And we pray that we may experience that joy also this night. Some maybe even for a first time through the Word preached this evening. Lord, we come as congregation to give thanks for Your mercies to us and granting us again a warm place for a time of worship. May we be God-focused as we worship. Help us to cast our cares on You as we think of the week behind and the week ahead. Help us in our duties and responsibilities at school, at work, at home. Help us to know that we may look to Thee for our help in all the matters we face, and that we may experience that Thou art the helper of Thy people, the helper of the helpless, even when we are undeserving of ourselves, as we always are. Lord, we pray this evening in thanksgiving for Thy loving kindness to the group that went to Mexico, that they could go as a group of adults to the place where they serve there and build a home for a family and reflect the love of Christ in word and deed, in also teaching the gospel in different situations and leading services, bringing the word there. Lord, we pray, bless that which was done, and receive our thanks for traveling mercies to and back home. And Lord, we know that's just one project. There are many projects, and we give thanks that this may still happen. And we pray that when we may know the Lord, we may care that the work of the Lord be done in many places all over the world, And thanks for the many opportunities for this. We think of Karen Oslander serving for these 6 months past as a helper in the Mercy Ship ministry. And we pray, bless her work, not only for the places they went to, but also even for the co-workers and her witness. And grant traveling mercies when she returns, and strength to readjust to the culture here and to her responsibilities here. We pray, Lord, for Joshua Slimers. Remember him as he goes to Florida for training, for pro-life ministry work. We pray that that may be a good time, and that you will equip him and help him and use also these experiences to shape him for being a faithful witness of the Lord and of the precepts and principles of God, also in regards to the sixth commandment and the pro-life concentration, that we do not take life in our own hands, also of our babies in the womb, but that we do everything we can to protect them. We thank you for all those involved in pro-life ministry, and will you bless that and bless the witness and love shown also for those who are convinced not to kill their baby, but to have their baby and give it up for adoption if they cannot take care of it. And will you bless all those efforts and bring these babies into loving homes by your grace and your providence. We pray this evening for all the work in your church and kingdom. We think too of different organizations that we sponsor, Come Over and Help, Word and Deed, Bonisa Missions, Christian Witness to Israel. We think of the radio ministry that Pastor Schumann is involved in, and we pray, bless that ministry, that many may hear the good news and come to Christ, and where we have our own churches, maybe come to our churches if they are not going to the faithful churches at this point. Lord, help us to have growing confidence in the Word of God and not declining confidence. We are living in terrible times, and we can sometimes feel that, well, what difference does it make? And the gospel doesn't seem to have any impact. But Lord, help us not to listen to that voice from Satan, but to listen to your word, which tells us where the word of the king is, there is power. And we know that thou art the King of Kings, and that your word is all powerful. And we pray, bless that word then, wherever it goes forth in truth, all across the land, all across the world. Gather in your church from every tribe and tongue and nation, and help us, Lord, to have a heavenly perspective as we live life's brief earthly journey. Help us to live thinking each Lord's Day too of the eternal Lord's Day to come. And may we all be ready for that day when the trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall descend on the clouds of heaven. Lord, please bless the ministry of the word also in our churches, that covenant children and youth raised under the word may receive that word, may ask for that word to be brought home to mind and heart, and that it be believed and followed and lived by your Holy Spirit's blessing. Oh Lord, we ask so many things, and we confess we do not deserve anything of ourselves. We acknowledge, O Lord, if thou shouldst deal with us as we deserve, as we said this morning, who then could stand, as the psalmist said? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And that's what's written in thy word, to encourage us in the way of the gospel. And we pray, so lead us and so bless us. Please strengthen us in our responsibilities in preaching and in listening. And bless your servants wherever they are. Again, be with Pastor Moerdijk. Lord, greatly strengthen him, not only in Calgary now, but in his ministry here. Continue to uphold him in opening the scriptures and in counseling and in visiting and in leading the congregation, and grant him to see much fruit on his labors. Lord, not for his glory, but for your glory and for the coming of your kingdom. We ask, O Lord, remember us for good, and may the good hand of the Lord be upon us, as Nehemiah so frequently prayed while he was in the battle, while he was in the struggles. the good hand of the Lord upon him, strengthened him to keep going, and blessed him in all his labors. And so we ask the same in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. In his name we pray. Amen. After the preaching, we want to sing a song entitled Divine Love, Psalter 377, based on Psalm 136. And we'll sing stanza 1, 2, and 7, Psalter 377. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, I'm not sure how many sermons you have heard from the Song of Solomon. I'm sure you've heard some. It's generally not a book read that much, nor preached from very often. The Bible is one book with a common theme throughout, ever pointing us to Christ, the Savior of sinners, and our great need of Him, and the glory of Him in meeting all those great needs by His grace and amazing love. You know the Bible, the children will know this, has 66 books. How many in the Old Testament? 39. And 27 in the New Testament. And these books can be divided by how they are differently written. The literature is different. You have the historical books. You have the prophetic books. You have the gospel books. You have the books that are letters to the churches or to persons. There are the apocalyptic books, which are about the end times, with lots of symbolic language. And there are the poetic wisdom books. In studying any of the books of the Bible, it's important to understand something of the style of its literature. You interpret a book according to its style and the type of literature it is. And failure to do so can mean totally misinterpreting and misreading the book and its message. So when we read the Song of Solomon, you need to realize from the start, it's a love poem. A love poem. The whole book expresses in poetic language the love relationship of a bridegroom with his bride and a bride with her bridegroom. And that this book is in the Bible should tell us it's not a book primarily about the loving marriage relationship, though it has things to say about that, which we can learn from, indeed, also from this book. But the book is especially about the relationship, the love relationship of Christ and His people, and of His people with Christ. In the Bible, for instance, in the book of Hosea, as well as in the writings of Paul and Ephesians and other places, you know the relationship of Christ and His people is often referred to as the relationship like as to a husband with his wife and a wife with her husband. The Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Bible that all of them primarily and ultimately point to Christ. And that's also very much the case with this love poem, the Song of Solomon. Now, we live in a fallen world, you know that, a sinful world, which in very many respects is so loveless, isn't that true? Full of hatred. Jesus says, especially as we get closer to the end, the love of many shall wax cold. And we are experiencing that, aren't we? Even in closest relationships, the love of many waxes cold. The natural man has fallen in Adam, hates the one true God, and hates his neighbor. You could say, it's not that bad, but it is that bad when you just listen to the news and follow what's going on also in our society today, most sadly. Where can we find a picture of true love in our times? Oh, I'm conscious that next week is Valentine's Day. Some of you will no doubt give a Valentine's card, go for a Valentine's dinner. That's the time of love. But at the same time, there's a lot of cheapness and superficiality with that as the world promotes it. You know it. It's a commercial profiting time, isn't it? Mostly, often. Where can you find true love? A picture of true love? Oh, can you find it in the world of pornography? Oh, again, that's what the world wants to suggest. But that only promotes animal lust. And it doesn't give a true picture of love at all. But what about maybe in your marriage relationship or in your family home? Maybe there's a true picture of love. Yes, hopefully that is so. It's wonderful when there's love in the family home, love in the relationship between husband and wife. Yet, isn't it true, even where it's the best among us, it still falls so far short, doesn't it? So often. So often, even in the best of marriages. It might come close, but the best marriages among us still fall short of showing that love to be so treasured and promoted above all. Where can we find a picture of true love? Oh, it's in the Bible. And from the Bible, dear congregation, that we get the best picture of true love. The picture of love treasured and promoted above all. And the amazing truth is that as the Bible shows us this picture and pictures of true love, it does so in a way that it wants to promote it to us and invite us into it and call us into it. As that is promoted to us mostly in and through Christ the Savior. And when repenting of sin and trusting and following Him as told of in the Bible, in every book, oh, then we too can be drawn into this love that the text that we will look at this evening speaks about. Are you interested in seeing a true picture of true love, so beautiful, so tender? Come with me then. And let's look closer at our text, Song of Solomon 2, verse 6, where we read the bride say about her bridegroom, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." We will look at this text in its setting of the whole chapter. But just hearing the text and picturing it, just picture it, doesn't it portray something of such tender love and care and comfort and support from the heavenly bridegroom for his bride, for his people, each one and all? You can literally translate the text saying, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand keeps on embracing me." Imagine that loving scene. Yes, please picture it. Not now as primarily between a man and a woman, but between God and His people, each one and all. Can you think of anything more beautiful, more wonderful than to be loved by the Lord? Really and steadfastly so, as Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 6 presents. We should, before we look into the text a bit more, we need to admit together that one of the reasons Song of Solomon is not read so easily and so readily is because it's a bit difficult to interpret. And one of the biggest challenges is who is speaking and when. When you read and reread the book, you struggle with, well, is the bridegroom speaking here or is the bride speaking? And that's a challenge with reading this book. Let's just go through the chapter for a minute and just look how it's divided. Chapter 2. Isn't it correct to say that the first two verses have us see Christ as heavenly bridegroom speaking to his bride? That does seem to make most sense, doesn't it? If you look at it, the text. And it's so beautiful and comforting to think of this. Christ describes himself here as saying, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley." Both flowers were and still are emblems of special beauty and glory. And our Savior is all beautiful and glorious in His person and work. In poetic language here, Christ is being depicted in His unique beauty and glory
as Savior and husband to his people.
In the next verse then, the bridegroom states in regards to his people, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As one study Bible notes, says about this, quote, Christ here we see commends his church, his bride, above all other people or institutions. Christ, we know from Scripture, from other Scriptures, is all care and love for his people, distinguishing them in his grace and mercy and loving kindness towards them. Not for any reasons in them, but for every reason only from himself. Then follows the section, verses 3 to 13. So the verses 1 to 2, I think it's correct to interpret, is the bridegroom speaking. The verses 3 to 13, we can say, represents the bride glowingly speaking of her lover, the bridegroom, and how precious and most loving and caring and gentle he is towards her. And the bride is saying the Savior loves his people with a love so great and never ending. And the text speaks of a love that's always inviting and calling to her and attentive to her and full of meaning and excitement and anticipation and promise and fulfillment. He reaches to her and suggests he can meet her every need. And that's what she testifies of him. And our text now, Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 6, is in this section. Yes. These beautiful words of the bride about her bridegroom we find here. His left hand is under my head and his right hand does embrace me. And then notice verse 14 and 15. We have again, most likely, the bridegroom speaking. Calling his lover, his bride, his dove, and longing to see her face. As lovers long to see each other face to face. And he's calling her voice sweet and her face lovely. The bridegroom wants for his bride to remove all that which might spoil their relationship, referring also to the false teachers and the enemies, even the little foxes that can so easily rob us from enjoying Christ and fellowship and his love in our lives and take away from the fruitfulness of Christ's church in this world. And then after those words, then follows in the last two verses of the chapter, clearly again the personal confession of faith and assurance and delight of the bride with her beloved bridegroom. Oh, how she loves her bridegroom and longs for the day of perfect, all-time, forever love and fellowship with him in his presence, indeed, forevermore. And so the chapter ends with the bride saying in joy and God-given loving testimony about the Savior. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a gazelle or a young hart or a stag upon the mountains of Bether. The mountains of Bether are a poetic expression of impassable mountains of division and separation from our side. But the bride prays and trusts in expectation and with longing and expectation that her heavenly bridegroom soon will remove all the barriers that they may forever be together in fullness of climactic joy and endless love. And so also the last verse of Psalm 16 in similar fashion reads of God's people testifying about the Lord. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Well, so much for the introduction, really, to our text and its context. Let's focus now and zero in on the verse I highlighted with you that I hope you will never forget from this Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 6. Even if we don't understand much, how wonderful when we have gems that we cling to and love, seeing sparkling from the text again and again. Listen to the bride say about her bridegroom. Yes, God's people testify about their Savior. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me, keeps on embracing me. Consider with me here a love picture so precious, so personal, so powerful, so inviting, and so promising. These 5 points we'll briefly go over. How is the love picture of our text so very precious? Well, do you not agree? It speaks of such tender care. When you see a person holding a child with one hand under the child's head and the other around the waist of the child or on the chest of the child, stroking the child, as it were, you know that child is being well cared for and much loved. When you see a married couple being loving, with the couple not only holding hands, but then maybe resting and laying down in the grass, and the man puts his one hand under his wife's head, and with the other hand he embraces his wife. You know, it's a picture of them being loving and really caring for and about each other. Well, dear congregation, can you imagine God, so relating with us? Yes, even with the likes of you and me. The Bible, believe it or not, so pictures God, the most holy, majestic, one only true God, independent, triune God, being most affectionate and caring and loving towards His people. No, we are not to understand this now in a physical sense, but in a spiritual and in a most real way. It's a picture to help us understand the love of God for sinners like us. As revealed to us in and through Jesus Christ, God comes near to His people and He provides for His own and fellowships with them and loves them most dearly and tenderly. God loves all His people, as many as repent of sin and trust and follow Him. He loves His people with the same love that He loves His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. One of the most amazing texts in the Bible is John 15, verse 9, where Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Tell me, how has the Father loved Jesus? With an eternal, perfect, tender love, forever and ever. And now, we're given a picture of that love for His people in our text. One study Bible notes that speaking of the Lord's left and right hand in care for His bride is meant to tell and show us the totality of the Lord's affection and provision for His people. You know, sometimes when we need to help someone and you give it your all, you say He's in there with both hands, with all His heart and with all His love, and with all His abilities to help and to show care. Well, dear congregation, in all our needs for body and soul, and in life and death, for those who look to the Lord and ask Him to be their Savior and God, the Lord stands ever ready and able to give His full support, always. And in all our struggles, in all our trials, while still in this world, He gives the totality of Himself with both hands in care and love for His own. It's very interesting that the verse before our text speaks of the bride experiencing love sickness, referring to being overwhelmed with God's love, and maybe also referring to her dealing with faith struggles at times. How can the Lord love me when I'm so unfaithful sometimes and so unloving, as we see further in the Song of Solomon? How can it be? She struggles. But then how precious that in this very setting you have this verse of the Lord as a loving husband, tenderly caring for His people, His bride, seeking to give her all the support she needs, with His left hand and His right hand, When she feels so weak, when she feels so inadequate, and when she feels and thinks also at times so unworthy. It's beautiful the way God's left hand and right hand are referred to here in care for His bride, telling us of the fullness of His love and care for His people. The Lord is all there for His people in every need, whatever the need may be. And when you think, but can it be? Remember this text in its setting. I found it so moving to find the verb tense in the Hebrew of the word embrace. To be not only in the form, in the verb form, telling of ongoing, repeated embrace, but the verb form is also in so-called PL verb form, which is the intensive form of the verb. It's like saying, not just someone is loving, but always loving. Yes, always really tenderly loving. Even for you, or even for me. In other words, there's no question here of the heavenly bridegroom's ongoing, most caring love and understanding and provision in our every need. Think of that. We forget it too often. We doubt it too much. But the Song of Solomon is saying, here, this is our God. This is my bridegroom. This is God in Christ for us. Some have suggested by His left hand and His right hand, we might also think of His Word and Spirit. I'm not sure about that interpretation, but it certainly is true. Oh, how the Lord, by way of His Word and Spirit, so comes alongside His people, so comforts and strengthens His people, so shows His people His love for them in and through Christ, so proves Himself as the God of all comfort in all our tribulations. Can't and don't many of you also testify here of this same reality in your life by God's grace as confessing Christian? You know God is there with such love and mercy, even also for you, for His own name's sake. I say again, dear congregation, where can we find solace and strength and direction and help and hope and such love in life's journey here below as found in our text, as revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? And here, considering still how very precious picture of love here our text presents, must we not all think back? I hope you do. To the heart of the gospel message. You know that what I mean by that, don't you? The message of how alone it is possible that God, the Holy One, can and will have dealings with sinners like us. How can that be? How is it that God will even love us, even you or me, with so great and precious and caring love as Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 6 pictures and proclaims to us? Well, what's the secret to this? The secret of so great love lies in the fact that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son to serve as Savior of sinners. The secret of the text is in God Himself, in His triune being of infinite love, and in His infinite plan of demonstrating His love through His Son. And do you know what it means for Jesus? It meant for Jesus that when here on earth, He had to suffer for the sins of His people, paying the full punishment for those sins in His body and soul. Even as He at the same time offered up, as we learned this morning, a life of perfect righteousness in the place of His people. In terms of our text now, how we should picture Jesus on the cross, left without His Father's left hand under His head, though He was God's only begotten Son come in the flesh. And He was left without His Father's right hand embracing Him. No, Jesus suffering for sin as the just for the unjust. God the Father left His Son all on His own. Instead of having the left hand under His head, what was on His head when He was on the cross? You know, a crown of thorns was pounded on His head. And instead of the right hand of the Father caressing Him and loving Him, He had the hard, knotty cross rubbing His open back as He suffered to death on sinners' behalf. God triune in infinite love that we cannot explain. He had a perfect plan of salvation for sinners like us, but it meant for Jesus, God's only beloved Son, only begotten Son, most beloved, it meant for Him that He, in His person and work, especially on the cross, had to be left forsaken, even to suffer the depths of hell, to make full and righteous payment for sin. I ask you, which father would give up his only begotten Son so to suffer for rebellious and unworthy sinful people like you and me? And which son would voluntarily go through such suffering and hell, literally, in body and soul, even to the death of the cross, for such wicked and ungrateful, forgetful, proud sinners like us? And why would the Holy Spirit, as third person of the Holy Trinity, work in hearts so vile and hardened in sin and hateful before God and others by nature? Why would He work in those hearts with regenerating power and renewing grace and mercy to save such like and to draw us to Christ the Savior? You know the answer? It's all undeserving mercy. It's all amazing grace and inexpressible love from God. Well, do you see this with me, this mystery of infinite triune love from God as revealed in our text? The love of God as revealed in and through Christ the Savior, the heavenly bridegroom, is endlessly unfathomable and inexpressible and wonderful and amazing beyond all words to tell. His left hand is under my head and His right hand doth embrace me and keeps embracing me, the bride says in Song of Solomon 2 verse 6. You find the same verse again, by the way, almost the same in chapter 8 verse 3. Let me say at this point to your congregation, there is much debate, mostly of late, of whether this book, the Song of Songs, was actually written by King Solomon. But it's mostly by liberal scholars, because the very first verse says it's the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So we don't have to doubt that it's from King Solomon. We have no hesitation to believe this song was written by God's Spirit through him. And you know, the fact that he wrote it, he, Solomon, such a wayward sinner, such a backsliding saint, such an unthankful covenant person, oh, it helps bring out all the more, don't you think? How precious is the love here, pictured and proclaimed to us. Who God is for His people, for His own name's sake, for all those who repent of sin and trust and follow Him, it's amazing. Will you be moved with me? With this picture of pictures, speaking and showing us something of God's tender love and care for His own. His left hand is under my head, and His right hand doth embrace me and keeps embracing me. That's our God in Christ Jesus. For sinners, like you, like me, when we put our trust in Him. It's amazing. It's precious. Our text gives a picture so precious, not only, but notice next, it's a picture so personal too. And it's good to come to that point, because you might think, oh, yeah, but I don't know if that could be my picture. But let's listen. Do you hear the personal pronouns in the text? And in the text chapter, and indeed throughout the book?
The gospel message is, isn't it? That God so loved the world of sinners, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you one of the whosoevers who trusts and obeys the Lord and his word, who repents of sin and looks to Jesus for salvation? God's true people altogether are those, each one, who are born again by the Spirit of God and who confess their sin and who call on the Lord Jesus to be their only Savior and Lord. Is that true of you? Younger or older? Is it true of you and me tonight? Do you say about the Savior, as the bride in our text chapter says in verse 16, "My beloved is mine, and I am his"? You know, if the Christian faith isn't personal for you, is it even real for you? The Lord saves sinners one by one. No one can be saved, also here tonight, because of his or her parents' faith, or your grandparents' godliness, or your great covenant family lines, or your good name, or the good church you attend. You're not saved by those things. The question is, are you personally joined to Christ in true faith and repentance? And are you in that way in an honest, hearty love relationship with him and to him in word and deed? Don't bypass that question. The Song of Songs is so personal. The Christian faith is personal. It's more than personal, but it's personal. What we need to see here too is how, while God's love to his people is so personal to each and every one who look to him, at the same time, it reaches out to all people, doesn't it? It calls out to all people in its endless fullness and riches. And it's given to all those who call on him, all those whom the Lord draws with everlasting love and who hear the call to trust and obey. You know, thinking of marriage and family, God calls us in marriage, doesn't he, to love our one spouse. And we are to pour out our love and care to that spouse whom God has given us. With our children too. Isn't it the case that sometimes we can fall into the situation while we spend a lot of attention and love on the one, another one of the children may feel neglected and forgotten. That's something that can happen in family life. As parents, we ourselves can feel that happening at times. And we don't want that when we're faithful parents. No, we love all our children, each one and all, with the totality of our love when it is well. But we're not always capable to show it all to all of them all the time. But when thinking of God, this is so great about him. He perfectly loves all his children, each one and all, with a total love, without minimizing his love to anyone else of his people. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, there's so much infinite love, pure, priceless, loving love and care from God for his saved people, for whoever calls out to him in repentance and faith. While directed personally to each of his own, it also encompasses the whole of his redeemed company, most wonderfully so. You ask any one of God's true people if this isn't the case. They will tell you it is indeed the case. In the communion of saints, oh, how you enjoy the love of God for yourself, but you so rejoice seeing the love of God in others and enjoying the love of God with them together. In the communion of saints, we ravish the love of God, and we relish the love of God together. And this all serves, you see, so much the more to magnify our heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ the Lord. And it proclaims again the immeasurable length and depth and height and width of the love of God for us in and through Christ Jesus. And this brings me to our third point about how this love picture is so powerful. It's not only so precious and so personal, but it's powerful. It's so powerful seeing and hearing in the whole Song of Solomon how comforting is the love of God in Christ Jesus for the bride. If the bride knows the love of God in Christ, oh, she's so satisfied. She's so thankful. She's so strengthened. She's so joyful. Where else can you find true and real forgiveness of sin but with the heavenly bridegroom? From where else can you find strength and resolve ever to seek and serve the Lord and to live by and out of His Word but from the heavenly bridegroom embracing us, sustaining us, upholding us in His love? Where else can you get victory in and through life and even over death except with the Savior and drawing from His love and experiencing His love? Indeed, who else can serve with so much love as the God of all comfort in all our tribulations, but as shown to us in the Lord, as revealed in Christ? That's the source of infinite love and care. So powerful. So resourceful. The Lord Jesus is described in the Bible as the ever-living and most loving Savior, in whose wounds, we say in our confessions, are found all manner of consolation in whatever trials and struggles we go through in life. Neither is it necessary, it says in Confession, Article 21 of the Belgian Confession, to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only Savior and His sacrifice once offered, by which believers are made perfect forever. Never ever, dear congregation, young people and children too, please know this, never ever can or will you and I find a more true and more faithful Savior of sinners as we have in Jesus. There is no other. And He is so loving. His love is so complete, so caring, so gentle, so sure, so eternal. Jesus Christ as the heavenly bridegroom. What a loving bridegroom He is for all His people here on earth and forevermore. And how beautifully this is stated too in the Belgic Confession, Article 26, where I quote from. If then we read there, our Father saying, if we should seek for another mediator who would be well affected towards us, or you might say, who would love us with His left hand under our head and with His right hand always embracing us, whom could we find who loves us more than He who laid down His life for us even when we were enemies? And if we seek for one who has power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as He who sits at the right hand of the Father and who has all power in heaven and on earth? And who will sooner be heard than the one only well-beloved Son? So the confession goes on to say, to what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it has pleased God to give us His Son as our advocate? Let us not forsake Him to take another, or rather to seek after another, without ever being able to find Him. For God well knew when He gave Him to us that we were sinners. God gave a heavenly bridegroom full of love for sinners. Sinners like you and me. Come, sinner, to Him and know and enjoy His love. Yes, will each of you listen to this all-powerful gospel message? Also from the Song of Songs, as expressed in our love text, chapter 2, verse 6. His left hand is under my head, and His right hand doth embrace me, keeps on embracing me.
Oh, as ambassador of Christ, I declare to you here this evening in Jesus' name, only in and through Christ, by grace, through faith in Him, can you, can I find this love all-excelling and this peace all-encompassing and this joy unspeakable and this future incredible and eternal. Sinclair Ferguson, a great theologian of our time, he gave 12 messages on the passage of John 13 to 17. And that passage of John 13 begins with the Lord Jesus loving His own to the end. And those are very intimate chapters in the Gospel of John. And in one of the messages on that, in that series, he quotes a pagan skeptic who asked a Christian, "If I believe your message of so much love through Jesus, and become Christ's man, what shall I find?" And the Christian answers that skeptic saying, "You shall stumble upon wonder, and every wonder true. You shall stumble upon wonder, and every wonder true." I could paraphrase that in light of our text to say, you will find love and more love and all that love genuine and certain and free. Indeed, dear congregation belonging to Christ, there just is nothing compared to being a Christian. There's nothing like it in all the world. Is this not the testimony of all God's true people? Yes, also here among us. What a joy to be Christ's child. What a privilege of grace. What an undeserved blessing, bringing untold love for undeserving sinners like us. Don't you, as confessing believers here, testify? The only comfort in life and death, for body and soul, for me is belonging unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Having Him, in other words, as my bridegroom. Having Him with His left hand under my head. And His right hand always embracing me. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 6, tells and shows a love picture so precious, so personal, and so powerful. And not only that, but it proclaims and presents a love picture so inviting. And isn't that wonderful? Maybe some of you are sitting here and thinking, oh, I wish I could know this. I wish I could know it. Well, do you think that this love picture is in the Bible to tease us? Or is this love picture in the Bible to call us to the Savior? It's the latter, congregation. This love picture is in the Bible to be an invitation for us, as well as proclamation to us. Why else would this text and song of songs, most excelling of all love messages, be included in the Scriptures? All of Scripture, isn't it true, is an earnest divine call and a well-meant sincere invitation from God of heaven for us in and through and with Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. You know, several times in this Song of Solomon, you come across the word come. Come. We read it also in our text chapter, especially in the verses 10 to 13. And you know the meaning of the word come. It means to come. To come to the Savior. Come to Him. All you who are weary and heavy laden. Come. All you who think, but it cannot be for me. Bring that to Him. Let Him show you. He came to be the Savior of sinners. Come. Come, trust and obey Him, ye poor and needy. Come, receive out of His fullness grace for grace. Come, ye tried and struggling. Come, you who feel so undeserving and so defiled. Come to Him and be saved and be loved with a love that will forever change your life. Come, come and keep coming. For the bridegroom says, I am the Christ. I am the Savior of sinners. I am the Comforter from heaven who comes with my left hand under your head and comes to embrace you with my right hand. Indeed, I am come with my hands stretched out in divine love for guilty, undeserving sinners, for wayward, backsliding saints, and for those empty of hope and despairing of any hope. Come to me, says Jesus, the heavenly bridegroom, the one and only Savior. Come to me, and with my one nail-pierced hand, let me support you under your head. And with my other nail-pierced hand, as Savior of sinners, let me embrace you with my love, which is not founded on anything in you, but is all grounded on everything in me and my Father and the Holy Spirit. There's a song, I don't know if you know this song, it's a beautiful song. It goes like this, I'll read it. Come to the Savior now, he gently calleth thee. In true repentance bow, before him bend the knee. He waits to bestow salvation, peace and love, true joy on earth below, a home in heaven above. Come to the Savior now, ye who have wandered far. Renew your solemn vow, for his by right you are. Come like poor wandering sheep, returning to his fold. His arm will safely keep, his love will ne'er grow cold. Come to the Savior now, he offers all to thee, and in his mercies haste, thou hast an unfailing plea. No vain excuses frame, for feelings do not stay. None who to Jesus came were ever sent away. Come to the Savior all, whate'er your burdens be. Hear now his loving call. Cast all your care on me. Come, and for every grief in Jesus you will find a sure and safe relief, a loving friend and kind. So we read too in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, 16 to 17, the exalted Savior and Bridegroom of his people, stating there to all the world, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel or messenger, minister of the gospel, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the bride, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Will there be any among us who just will not hear Christ's gospel word and refuse his kind, gentle invitation still to come and be saved and be loved with an everlasting love? You know, the Bible makes very clear, without Christ as your Savior, without him as your heavenly bridegroom, without him living on this earth, not only you cannot be saved then, but you will also perish in your sins. Be forewarned that that's very serious. For you need to know in hell, please know this, in hell, no one will ever compassionately and lovingly put his left hand under your aching, weeping head. And no one will extend to you his right hand to embrace you affectionately. No, but there will only be endless, righteous, deserved punishment for sin. Not least for your rebellion and your rejection of so loving and complete Savior from sin as God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. You know, we read in the text chapter, the winter is past. The winter won't be past for you if you reject Christ. But instead you will be cast into a realm of everlasting coldness on the one hand And on the other hand, and these are just pictures to bring out something of the horror of eternal hell, you will be cast in the fires of hell with no escape, no relief from there ever, forevermore. No love experienced ever. Oh, hear Christ calling now, while it's yet the day of grace. Won't you, younger and older, whoever you are, come away with me. Come away with me while it is yet the season of grace and pardon and peace is still freely offered in Jesus' name for whoever has ears to hear. Come unto me and be ye saved. Oh, and that we all would take heed to this great word and live to invite others as well, because we have so much gospel privileges. But with our privileges, we're called to call others, aren't we? So many who are still lost. We are called to invite them to Jesus the Savior, whose love is so precious and personal and powerful and inviting. And just one more point yet, we'll notice briefly, it's so promising too, isn't it? Also our text is so promising. How is it promising? Well, it's most promising because it tells us, while it's so great to know His love here already, oh, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The chapter ends with the bride so longing for the fullness of God's love in Christ and enjoying Him and His love without interruption and let up and without separation anymore. No more sin, pain, sorrow, death, tears ever again, but only perfect, endless love and the enjoyment thereof. You know it's true, isn't it? The best experience of Christ's love here below in this world is all too often so short. But there's a time coming when it will be forever for God's people, with no more bad days, only always enjoying love, the love of God in all its fullness as revealed in Christ. Oh yes, the day is coming, dear congregation, for all God's people, when there will be no more struggle against our sinful self and with Satan tempting us and with the world's distractions. No, that'll all be gone. All the loves of this life, they will fall and fade away. But when belonging to Christ, we get to enjoy His love forever in the world to come in a way we can't imagine how great it will be. I look forward to that day and long for it sometimes more and more, as life here can still be such a veil of tears, can't it? We can be such a disappointment to ourselves. And we can be such a disappointment to each other. And we can go through such struggles and hardships. But there's a day coming when it will all be over. And we'll forever bask in God's love when we are God's children. Fittingly, the very last verse of the Song of Songs, the very last verse of the whole book, expresses in fervent prayer and longing, the longing of God's people for that promised eternal day to come. Make haste, my beloved, we read. And be thou like a roe or young hart, like a gazelle or deer, you might say, leaping upon the mountains for the coming of the great day of the Lord. It is coming. Oh, how God triune will then rejoice over His people with endless joy and love and song. And His people will be ravished and thrilled in eternal love that passes knowledge. And this will be ecstatically wonderful beyond words, to be ever in the presence of eternal love and drinking in that love in a perfect way. Thanks, Lord, for this song of songs, this love song that beats all. Keep me from loving the love songs of the world. Help me to love the love song of the Bible with all my heart and to tell others of this love song, which tells of love picture so precious, so personal, so powerful, so inviting, so promising. This text, your left hand is under my head, and your right hand doth embrace me and keeps embracing me. Your nail-pierced hands, oh Lord, what a text of so much love. Will you receive that love and drink it in and reflect it to others as God enables you and strengthens you? May the Lord so bless His word and to him be all the glory. Amen.